Your word is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. We're praying this day that you will visit us once again. We pray, Father, that your anointing will be here. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We expel every spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your word will bring light in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm saying that you cannot please someone if you don't know what he wants. And you cannot know what he wants if you don't hear his voice, isn't it? So hearing God's voice is very important and central to pleasing God. How many of you want to please God? Amen. I believe that most of you here want to please God. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't go to a church if you don't want to please God. Amen. So hearing his voice is very important. And I believe this year we will be hearing the voice of God more than we have ever done in any year. Amen. Now, one of the ways that God speaks to us is through his word. And that is what we were talking about last week, that the word of God is a light. Amen. That God's word is a light that helps us navigate through the darkness of this world. Amen. This world is a very dark place, is a very evil place. Amen. And I get to hear, you know, by the grace of God, you know, because of what I do, I get to hear and see a lot of things. And every day I get more and more convinced that this world is a very dark place. And you really need some light to help you navigate. Amen. To help you go through this life, you know, in a safe way. And the word of God is what gives us that light. Hallelujah. So that message is available. Amen. And today I want to continue. The word of God also is wisdom. The word of God also provides wisdom for living. Amen. And the scripture we're going to read is Psalm 119 and verse 90. Let's start from verse 98. Psalm 119 and verse 98. Amen. Bonjour, bonjour to my French members. Monique, bonjour. Ça va? Très bien. Merci à Dieu. Is it wrong? It's correct. Merci is what? Thank you. Adieu is God. Okay, so merci, adieu. It's not so bad. Amen. Bon. Okay, so Psalm number 119 and verse 98. Thou through thy commandments, thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. Amen. It says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies. Amen. So right there, it looks like you can get some wisdom through the commandments of God, or through his word, or more directly, through the Bible. Hallelujah! Isn't it? Now, when you're engaged in a war, your strength is not so much in your artillery or ammunition as it is in your ability to outwit the enemy. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That your strength is more in your ability to outwit the enemy, to be able to think ahead of the enemy, to be able to predict what the enemy is going to do, and to be able to jump ahead of him and act before he acts. Now, if you're smarter than your enemy, it doesn't matter what he has. Do you understand? Let's say the enemy has decided that tomorrow he is coming to take down this building with a tanker because he has heard that you are here. Then you happen to have advance notice through your previous study of the way the enemy fights. And through advance notice, you are able to understand that the enemy's next move is that he's going to come for this building. Do you understand? So you move from this place 3 days before he gets here. When he gets here, it doesn't matter what he brings here. He is just not going to find you in this place. Are you getting what I'm saying? So wisdom is very, very important in the war that we fight. Even just to live. Hallelujah. You need to wage the war of life with wisdom. And the Bible says, thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm always in a fight. I'm always in a fight. And he says, my enemies are so many, but you have made me wiser than my enemies. Then he says, I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Hallelujah. I have more understanding than my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation, which means that I read the Bible, I meditate on the Bible. So that has given me more understanding than people who are supposed to be teaching me. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then the next one, verse 100 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Can I have an amen? Please, I want you to understand something today, that God's word will give you wisdom for living. Amen. And in this life, you need wisdom. You don't just need knowledge. You see, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge is just having information. Do you understand? And of course, you can't begin to have wisdom if you don't have knowledge. Now, knowledge is having information. Knowing that, there is tea or coffee at the back. That is knowledge. Do you understand? That there is tea or coffee at the back. That is knowledge. Or that there will be a service going on this morning in this place. That is knowledge. Now, your wisdom begins to show when you begin to process that information that you have. The way you process the information you have, or what you do with what you know, is where your wisdom is revealed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it is important for you to have wisdom. You need to be able to process the information correctly. Otherwise, then the knowledge is of no use. Hallelujah. Now, there are two kinds of wisdom according to the Bible. The Bible says there's wisdom that comes from above, and there's wisdom that is from the earth, and there's wisdom that is from the devil. In fact, the one that comes from the earth, the Bible says it also comes from the devil. Do you understand? Let me show that to you in the book of James. Go to the book of James, please. James chapter 3 and verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Have you found that? James chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, who is a wise man? who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Amen. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, so wait. Go back to it. Just go back to verse 14 and 15. Especially verse 15. Now look at this. It says that this wisdom descendeth not from above. Now that means that you can come by wisdom which is not from above. Do you understand? Now, it means, and if wisdom is the way you think, if your wisdom is the way you process information, then the Bible is saying that there is a way of processing information that is not from above. There is a way of thinking and reasoning that is not from above, but is earthly. It is sensual, that means it's related to the flesh, it is gratifying the flesh, or it is devilish, that means it actually tends more towards the devil and his way of doing things. Do you understand? When you say something is devilish, if I say something is reddish, what does it mean? If I say it's reddish, what does it mean? It looks like red. What about if I say it's bluish? How about if I say it's bluish red? Yeah. So what about if I say come around 10-ish? That's only if you're from Africa. If you're from Africa, you can, all right. Yeah, so when you say 10-ish, it's just about near 10. Do you understand? So the Bible is saying that there is a way of thinking and processing information that is devilish. That means it's near the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? Right. So he's saying that that wisdom is not from above. Then if you go on to the next verse, verse 16 says that, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Hallelujah. So we can see clearly that there are two kinds of wisdom. Do you understand? There is the wisdom that comes from above, and there is the wisdom that is earthly, that is sensual, and that is devilish. Now, the wisdom you need to operate in this life is the wisdom that comes from above. Hallelujah. And the wisdom that comes from above is found in the Word of God. And it begins by fearing God. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Have you found that, read that verse before? Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, I think. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, right there. Look at it. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Amen. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That means your first day of wisdom is when you begin to fear God. Do you understand? When you begin to be conscious of God, when you think about God, when God is included in your thoughts, when you plan with God and you live with the consciousness and awareness of God, that is your first day of operating in wisdom. In other words, when you start walking in the wisdom of God, the first thing or the first way it manifests is that you will have a consciousness of God. And the greater your consciousness of God, the greater wisdom you actually walk in. Are you following what I'm saying? That is why the Bible says the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Do you understand? Now, I was surprised how many times I found that in the Bible, that the fool, Psalm 14 and verse 1, and then Psalm 53 and verse 1, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Do you understand? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is only a fool who says in his heart that there is no God. And even he only says it in his heart. So when you see the one who actually says it with his mouth, then he is a little higher than a fool. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. It is only a fool who thinks and lives his life as though there is no God. Because we don't often say it. But like the Bible says, the way we live shows that this is what we believe in our hearts. Do you understand? That there is no God. It is because we think there is no God that we don't really care about talking to him, that we don't really care about reading his opinion about any issue, reading the word of God, getting his thoughts on any particular matter. It is the life of, if somebody didn't believe in God, how differently would he live? If someone didn't believe in God, he would also get up and do his own thing. He would take his decisions and do things as they feel right to him. Isn't that what you would expect? Yeah. So now you who claim to believe in God, you also do the same thing. Are you not the same? You're also living like someone who does not believe that God exists at all. God's word, when God's word has no place in your life, when what God says or thinks about an issue does not really make a difference to you, you know, then you are actually living like there is no God. And you are putting yourself in the category of people who say there is no God. And the Bible says such people are fools. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you this morning so far? So it is important for us to understand that we need to operate the wisdom that comes from above. And as we fear God, we begin the journey to wisdom, and we actually get to walk in wisdom, and it begins to show in the things we do. Hallelujah. Now, let's look very quickly at some of the characteristics of the wisdom that comes from above. So let's go back to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. Today is short sermon. Amen. Okay? The book of James, chapter 3. And from verse 13, it says, but if you have, just read from verse 13, but if you have bitter, it says, okay, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay, so your wisdom is revealed in your lifestyle. Do you understand? Conversation here is not, doesn't mean talking with somebody. Do you understand? Pastor Monera, can you give us another version, maybe a more modern version, so that we can understand conversation as not meaning chatting? Okay, so here, you see, this is that word conversation is now saying good behavior. Can you see that? So your wisdom is revealed in your behavior and your lifestyle. You cannot actually hide your wisdom. Do you understand? One of the things that is very difficult to hide is your wisdom, and for that matter, your folly also. If you're foolish, it's very difficult to hide it. Do you understand? Because your decisions will betray you. and your choices will also betray you. At the same, in the same way, when you are wise, it's very difficult to hide it, because the choices you make and the way you live will also betray your wisdom, isn't it? Right. So, who is wise among you and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Then it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Do you understand? I like the way it puts this particular one in the King James. It says, glory not. If you have bitter jealousy or bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. That means don't be proud of it. Do you understand? Don't be proud of it. If you have bitter, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Do you understand? It's not something you should even talk about. It's not something you should even let people know about. But you find people who are very bitter and angry, and they like to display it. Do you understand? You meet people who tell you, I don't take nonsense at all. You see, that's usually the announcement a quarrelsome, cantankerous person makes. Do you understand? As for me, I don't take nonsense at all. I mean, you do me, I do you. I heard somebody say that one. He said, you do me, I do you. That means you do more than you. You get it? And the Bible says, when you are like that, you should not be proud of it. And the reason is giving us in the next verse. What does it say? The next verse. He says, that way of thinking, that wisdom. So God recognizes that it is a way of thinking. Do you understand? But that way of thinking does not come from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? In this life, you can find yourself operating the wisdom that comes from the devil, the wisdom that comes from earthly cleverness. And we need to make a distinction between the wisdom that comes from above and also earthly cleverness. Are you getting it? Yeah. And here it's saying that the wisdom is earthly. It is sensual. It is coming from the flesh. It's not coming from God. Do you understand? Sometimes retaliation, you know, that strong desire to retaliate and to get even with people, the Bible says that wisdom is often sensual. You know, sensual means it's from the flesh. Now, if you just take a pause there, Pastor Moneta, and take us very quickly to the book of Galatians, and then you see some of the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, and from verse 19, you see some of the works of the flesh, some of the things that are attributed to the flesh. You know, it says the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, you see, then idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. You can see that everything here has to do with some quarrel or some tension or just some harassment or some kind of strain and some problem with somebody. Can you see that? So these are the works of the flesh. Do you understand? And the Bible says here that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And by the way, notice how it includes envying and drunkenness. Do you understand? And the Bible says that people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So today is the last day of your drunkenness. Amen. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Okay. So these are the works of the flesh. Now go back, Pastor Munene, to what we are reading. The book of James. The book of James. So here, It says it descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. Then it gives an example for where envying and strife is, there is also confusion and every evil work. Hallelujah. That is why he says that it is devilish. Because any situation that allows evil works to thrive, then it must be controlled and dominated by the devil. Hallelujah. But look at the wisdom that comes from above. When you are operating the wisdom that comes from above, the Bible says, for example, that it is first pure. Do you understand? It is pure. It is pure. Pure means, when you say something is pure, it means it's just made up of one thing. Isn't that what it means to be pure? Yeah, when I say something is pure gold, what does it mean? Huh? It means it's 100, yeah. When you say something is pure orange juice, what does it mean? You know, I was in some place the other day, and I was drinking this juice, and the thing had been advertised. It said, what did it say, pure juice or something like that, and I was just drinking the thing, and I was just drinking the thing. And then in the middle of the conversation, my eyes just fell on the bottle, and I saw a small writing somewhere. And the thing had written there, this bottle contains only 3% juice. I said, so what is the rest? And I had been drinking the thing with confidence, you know, thinking that I have finally found the best of juice. Do you see? And not knowing that they were just lying to me. I was just drinking a lot of sugar and a lot of water and 3% of orange juice in the thing. Do you understand? So it's not pure. A lot of things that are sold to us as pure are not pure. Do you see? And the other day I was thinking, I took a bottle of honey and they said it's pure. You know how many bees have to work so hard to get this much of honey? You know, the whole thing was just mixed with so many things. You know, these days you don't get pure things anymore. And unfortunately, you have that also in the church. Do you understand? We have a lot of Christians, but we don't get many people who are pure Christians. You know, you mostly have people who are partly Christian and partly in the world. One foot in the church, another foot in the world. You know, very nice with unbelievers, very nice with the Christians too. You know, dancing with the stars on Saturday night and dancing with the saints on Sunday morning. You know, so it's all mixed, and we are not pure. And when you work like that, you are not operating the wisdom that is from above. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is often the reason why we don't even enjoy being Christians. Because when you have one foot in something and another foot in another thing, it's very, very difficult to enjoy it. The story is told of a man who decided to go boating one day. And then he stood on the shore of the place, just on the banks of the lake or whatever it was. And then he put one foot in the boat, you know, but he wouldn't bring the other foot in. So as he stood there and the people tried to move the boat, then, you know, he was sort of balancing in a certain way and eventually fell into the water. And then he got very upset and decided that boating is not for him. That God has not created him to be one of those who will ride on a boat. Do you agree with him? Are you sure? But he had a very bad experience. But I'm sure you agree that his bad experience was because of the way he approached it. He did not apply himself fully to the experience. Hallelujah. It is the same way with God and our experiences in Him. If you do not apply yourself properly and fully to Christianity, you usually don't enjoy the experience. Hallelujah. It's very difficult to live with guilt, always feeling that you are a Christian or not so much of a Christian, always feeling that you are half and half, and always feel, you see, it becomes a burden and it becomes a strain. Over a period of time, you will give one up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Over a period of time, you will just give it up Because you always feel bad. You always feel like I'm not as good as the other Christians. Oh, if it wasn't for just this one problem, you know, I would be doing well. But just this one thing, you know. And we'll continue to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And no one can labor under that kind of a burden forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need to be pure. Choose one thing. Amen. And especially in relation to your faith, just choose one thing. If you want to serve God, choose that and go all the way with it. Amen. And if you don't want to serve God, also choose that and go all the way with it. So that if you go to hell, at least you should feel that you deserve to come here and you have finally come. Do you understand? You should not find yourself in hell and feel cheated. You see, and feel like, you should consider. I really tried, you know, maybe, and you'd be sending emails and notes to Peter up there in heaven. Say, look, Peter, consider. I really tried. I was a member of that church. I mean, look, the lighthouse in Oakland, I was there. I was in that, I can't even tell you all the hotels that they were meeting, Peter. Please consider. You see, you are in hell and you feel that you are cheated because you did not deserve to be there. Say, Peter, I know I did some things, you know, I understand, but at least, please, try and understand. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, if it's your plan to go to hell, then come and see me after church. I'll give you some suggestions on how to maximize life on your way to hell. One day I'm going to preach about that. Maximizing life on your way to hell. But if it is your plan to go to heaven, then I want to encourage you this morning to give it all your best. Amen. Give it your best. And I believe that God will honor it. Amen. Then it says the next characteristic of the wisdom that is from above is that it is peaceable. It loves peace. Do you understand? It is peaceable. There are some of us who don't like peace. We like quarreling. Yeah, we like to have strife and tension, quarrels. And the Bible says that wisdom is not from above. The next one, it is gentle. Then this one is one of the ones I like. It is easy to be entreated. Amen. The way you know that you are dealing with a wise person, it's not even that he got angry, but that when he got angry and you spoke to him, he cooled down. Do you understand? There are some people, they are not easy to be entreated. I mean, once they have made up their mind concerning something, some people are pointing to some people. Let me go back before I get into trouble. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once they make up their mind and they take a position on something, that is it. You cannot talk them out of it. They say, I'm going to throw her out. The next thing you will see is the person is out. That is all you will see. Yeah. You know, one day I heard about a man who went home and he went to beat up his wife. You know, he went to beat up his wife. And then they went to the pastor after that. And the pastor said, why do you do such a thing? How can you beat up your wife like that? And the man's answer was, Pastor, before I got home, I called her and I told her, today when I come, I'll beat you. So I told her, when I come home today, I'm going to beat you. So when I got home, she was there and I beat her. You see, clearly you see that this person is operating a wisdom that is not from above. He's operating sensual, earthly, and devilish wisdom. Do you understand? It is devilish for a person to try to beat up his wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So easy to be entreated. So get upset. But when someone talks to you, you need to calm down. When the pastor talks to you and says, listen, it's okay. Just take it easy. Forgive him. Forgive her. And let the matter end here. You should at least say that, well, somebody has spoken to me, you know, and for that reason, I'll drop this matter. Even if it means you see the person and you give him, you are lucky. Even if you want to say that, you say that, but at least drop the matter after that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Drop the matter after that. You should be easy to be entreated. Then the other one is that you should be full of mercy. Full of mercy means that the people don't even deserve to experience perhaps even your forgiveness or even any goodness from you after forgiving them. But you decide to do so. The Bible says that is also wisdom that is from above. Amen. Amen. Wisdom that is from above, you are merciful. Hasn't God been merciful to all of us? Hasn't God been good to us in spite of all the sins we have committed? Yeah. God continues to be merciful to us. That is why when you are full of mercy, you are actually, you know, downloading wisdom from above. You are walking in wisdom that comes not from the earth. Because the earth, people are wicked. In the earth, people are not merciful. People give you what you deserve or what they think you deserve plus more. That's how people respond to us on earth. But it is only a person operating a higher wisdom, which is the one that comes from above, who is able to be full of merciful, of mercy. And the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. Do you understand? You are blessed when you are merciful. If you're a merciful person, you can count yourself a blessed person. If the Bible says it is because they themselves shall obtain mercy. Can I have an amen? Amen? And sometimes what you need is that God will show you mercy yourself. And the way you make a path for God to show you mercy is by being merciful to other people. Say amen. Amen. And then it is full of good fruits. Then it's without partiality, you know, and without hypocrisy. Hallelujah. So if you are operating the wisdom of God, you are also without partiality. You try to be fair. Do you understand? As a pastor, I try to be fair with all my members. I try to be fair with all. Well, when someone asks me for something, I always ask myself, this thing I'm about to do, can I do it for everybody? You know? And when I realize I can't do this for everybody, then I try not to do it at all. Because I don't want to have a situation where I'm partial. I'm nice to some people and I'm not nice to others. It's not a wisdom from above. Amen. God's wisdom is such that God treats all people the same way and loves all people the same way. And we must also learn how to do that. Hallelujah. And it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Hallelujah. So I want us to pray that God will give us wisdom. Pray that God will grant you wisdom. And the Bible has shown us that the source of real wisdom for this life is really God's word. The very first word scripture we read today said that through your word, you have made me wiser than my teachers. Believe it, you can be wiser than your teachers. You can be wiser than people who are supposed to be teaching you. You know, recently I was speaking to somebody, and she said to me, she said that you look like an, she said you sound like an old man who has been trapped in a young body. You know, and I asked her, why do you say that? She said that the things you are telling me, they are like someone who has lived before and is living again. You see, but then I realized it wasn't anything, most of the things I was saying, I was just saying things from the Bible. I mean, just she was just coming up, I was trying to help her with something. And I was, as she would speak, then I would also say something from the Bible towards what she's saying, you know. And then at the point, she said, you have something to say about everything I say. I said, well, because that's what the Bible says. Then she said, you are like an old man trapped in a young man's body. It's like you've lived before and you are trying to live again. I say, why are you trying to say I'm a reincarnated something or something like that? You know, but that's not what it is. I think that years of reading the Bible has actually opened my mind a great deal. And I want to recommend that same path to you. Amen. And I believe that it will make a difference in your life. He said that through your word, He said that thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Then he says, I have more understanding. You get it? More understanding. More understanding. A lot of things start to make sense. It is through reading the Bible that you begin to get hold of the paths to understanding. Do you understand? You begin to have understanding. You begin to have, you become a little deeper. Do you understand? You become a little deeper about the issues of life. You'll be able to see things beyond their surface presentation. You'll be able to understand actions beyond their initial presentation and how they look to you. You'll be able to think a little deeper if you go by the Word of God and if you become someone who really pays attention to the Word of God. Can I have an amen? And then finally he said that, verse 100, he said, I have more, I understand more than the ancients. You see, it's assumed that ancients means old people. It's assumed that old people have wisdom. Do you understand? But here is a young person who is having more understanding than older people just because he keeps the precepts or the Word of God. Hallelujah. I recommend very highly to you the Word of God. I want you to pay attention from now on to the Word of God. Pay attention to the times that you have to read the Bible, and also especially the Word of God that is preached to you on Sunday in the church. Hallelujah. The Word of God that is preached to you every Sunday in the Word of God in the church. Pay attention to it, and it's going to be a blessing to you, and your life will be transformed by His grace. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads with me, everybody, this morning, and begin to pray. And let's pray. I want everybody to take 2 minutes today to pray and tell the Lord to give you the wisdom that comes from above. Tell God, please give me the wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that comes from above. Many of us have walked in some kind of wisdom, but often the fruits and the results of it have proven that the wisdom was not from above. Wisdom that is motivated by earthly cleverness. Wisdom that is motivated by the flesh or sensuality. Wisdom that is motivated by our feelings. The way we feel. Maybe someone hurt us, and because of the way we feel, we have taken decisions and walked a certain path because of hurt feelings. You know, so it's wisdom. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of processing information. But it's not arising out of heaven. It's not coming out of the right source. It's coming out of your flesh. It's because you're hurt that you're taking such a decision. It is not because God is guiding it. It's not because God is leading you. It's not because the Spirit of God is behind it. But it is because your feelings are hurt. And that is why you take such a decision. And that decision will certainly not lead you where God is leading you. So pray today that you'll be able to tell such moments apart from the wisdom that comes from above. Pray that you will not miss God's voice, that you will be able to understand and you will be able to see the wisdom that comes from above. He says the wisdom that comes from above, it is first peaceable. It is gentle. It is pure. He says it is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it is gentle. These are the characteristics of the wisdom that is from above. And pray that God will help you walk in them in the name of Jesus. Father, we are praying today and thanking you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Word of God. And we are praying today that we will all begin to walk in the wisdom that you give to us. That we will move away from the wisdom that makes us vulnerable and gives the devil an advantage over us. The wisdom that gives the gates of hell an advantage over us in the name of Jesus. We want to be children of God. We want to be children who know God. We want to be people who really give a good testimony of what God does with a life. And we pray, Lord, that it will show in our wisdom, our experience with you, and Lord, the fruit of it will show in our wisdom. In the name of Jesus, help us to be merciful. Help us not to be partial. Help us especially to be easily entreated. Help us, oh God, to be gentle and to be kind, because we are walking with the wisdom that comes from above. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. I pray that you will touch our hearts and transform us from inside. I pray that you will make us tender and soft from within, that your word will affect us in the name of Jesus, that your word will go deep into us and effect a change that leads to a really transformed life, that people will see and know that truly, here is a Christian, here is a child of God, here is someone who goes to church, here is a true follower of Christ. We pray that all of us will be as such. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.